People talking about the playoffs now with this football team. We're on day two here on YouTube as well. It's time for Locked On Lions.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Good afternoon on a Thursday, June 12th. I should say 2nd. I can't get the dates right because now we're on camera. June 2nd into Friday, June 3rd. It's Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you. Thanks for listening and making us your first listen each and every day. Our first video YouTube guest is coming up momentarily. Eric Eager, the VP of Research and Development at Pro Football Focus, will join us. We'll talk to Eric about his impressions of the Lions, OTAs going on, Jeff Okuda, offense, defense, and where he thinks this team will kind of finish the season. And also how things work behind the scenes at Pro Football Focus. We'll do that coming up shortly here on the program. Thanks again for making us your first listen, your first watch as well. We are on YouTube now, so if you're listening, great. If you're watching, please subscribe, please comment. And check us out each and every day now that we are officially on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page and Locked On Lions YouTube channel. Coming up on the program today, OTAs going on in Allen Park. The media was present today and able to watch some of practice. I've got three takeaways that I want to talk about from OTAs today and some of the comments that went on from Allen Park. We'll do that coming up. And again, Eric Eager is going to join us, the VP of Research and Development at PFF, Pro Football Focus. First things first, a couple of players that were not at practice today, at least not spotted at practice today, include TJ Hockenson, Taylor Decker, Romeo Okwara, Josh Pascal, and John Pennacini. There, but not really working out, Jameson Williams, Jerry Jacobs, Ify Melifonwu, and also Austin Bryant was a little limited as well today. Again, these are OTAs, so this is not the mandatory session. The mandatory minicamp will come up Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday when everybody has to be there, and the Lions will really get after it with their entire team. But as we talked about yesterday, a very big part of sort of the optimism surrounding 222 Rod Wood Drive is that the Green Bay Packers have a ton of absences at their OTAs, including Aaron Rodgers and a lot of their defensive players. Now, some takeaways from today. Dan Campbell met with the media and immediately, of course, was asked about play calling. Who's going to call the plays this season? Is it going to be Dan Campbell? Is it going to be Ben Johnson, the new offensive coordinator? Campbell basically said today that they're probably not even going to decide this until game one. Until week one of the regular season, that he knows he can do it. He knows Ben Johnson can do it. And so for right now, that's still up in the air. For some people saying, wait a minute, Dan Campbell's going to call the plays. I think he is. I do. Called the plays at the back end of last season. Jared Goff got better. The offense got better. And Dan Campbell is very aggressive, and it's his team. He's the head coach. So I think at the end here, at the end of the day, he is going to call the plays. But that is interesting that they don't know as of right now. Takeaway number two, Ben Johnson spoke today and basically admitted that the first-year offensive coordinator, that he sat down with Jared Goff a few months ago, and the two of them co-designed this offense. And Johnson went a step further to say that they are going to be implementing some things with Goff that made him successful in Los Angeles. They went back and they're going to put some things in the rotation here for the Lions offense, plays and formations and all this stuff that Jared Goff did when he had success going back 17, 18, 19 with the Rams in LA. I found that very, very interesting. And what does that tell you about what they think of their quarterback? You may not like him. I may not love him, but they do. They like him. They're co-designing this offense. Jared Goff has a big say. And if you don't think Jared Goff didn't have an issue with Anthony Lynn last year, then you're crazy. I'm not saying Jared Goff pushed Anthony Lynn out the door, but it might have been a minor shove, a love tap. So put that wherever you want to and file it, but Jared Goff is going to have a huge say in this offense. And if he plays well this year, I don't even know if the Lions will draft a quarterback next year. Obviously, the contract gets easier to get out from underneath of after this season, but it's obvious this team is going to ride with number 16. Takeaway number three from OTAs is Jeffrey Okuda spoke today, shot down any kind of rumors that they're moving him to safety. If you've been paying attention, and we've mentioned it here on Locked On Lions, Ife Melifonwu has been taking some reps at safety. Will Harris has been taking some reps at cornerback. The Lions, all of a sudden, if Jerry Jacobs can get healthy, if Okuda can get healthy, you got Oruwariye, you got Mike Hughes, the Lions have some depth at cornerback. Ife Melifonwu is more of a corner than a safety, but he can play that position. Will Harris might be more than of a corner than a safety because he has struggled having to play that on the way back end in the last couple of years. But the Lions feel like, you know, with A.J. Parker too, they got some depth at cornerback. And so Okuda shot down that he's going to be moving to safety. What he did talk about today was how emotional he got last season when he was sitting in his car after the season opener and realized his season was going to be done after a torn Achilles. Basically sat in his car with I think his grandmother and just bawled his eyes out and cried. And he wants this very badly. He's emotional about coming back. He wants to prove the doubters wrong. There has been that B word thrown around with Jeffrey Okuda as a bust because his first couple of years here after being drafted number three by Bob Quinn, you know, things have just not worked out. He hasn't played well. He's gotten hurt. And of course, last year, really, he didn't play at all. I mean, the season was ended. But in that opener, of course, we remember the Aubrey Pleasant kind of going off on him on the sidelines routine and all of that. So it was just, you know, it was not a good start to the year for Okuda. Then he got hurt. But he wants to prove that he can play. And that being the third overall pick, that he's got some talent. So you root for a guy like that that wants it so badly and wants to do it here in Detroit. So that's going on. That's really kind of the big takeaways from OTAs today. We're going to talk to Eric Eager from PFF, and we'll do that coming up next. First, Built Bar. We've been talking about it. You've asked for it, and now they've delivered it. Built granola bars are here. That's right. Built bars, but granola bars. They come in three unbelievable flavors, chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Want to try all three flavors? You can get a mixed box at Built.com right now. These are so different from the bars and puffs because Built granola bars are loaded with granola. It's the perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. And just like the Built bars and the Built puffs that we've talked to you about, those marshmallow treats, these babies are packed with protein and also covered in 100% real chocolate. They're only 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. Built granola bars will change your world. That's right. So if you've been waiting for a healthy and delicious granola bar for years, try the three Built granola bars right now. Chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Here's what you do. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, everybody, as promised, let's do this. From our friends at Pro Football Focus, Eric Eager is with us, the VP of Research and Development at PFF, and he's our guest today here on Locked On Lions. Eric, thanks so much.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me on. This is fun.
Propagandize away, man. You put out a little tweet before we recorded here that you were ready to propagandize. What did you mean by that? Are you high on the Lions or low on the Lions? Which direction are we going?
You know, I've been burned before. I had tickets in 2020 for them to win the division. I might have even written an article a few years ago saying that they were the most talented team in the NFC North. You know, but I think this offseason, they've done a lot of things that have made – me optimistic about them. I think the betting markets are still a little slow to go as far as where they're handicapping this team right now. There's just a lot of talent there. And there was a team last season that obviously if you're betting on them, they went 11-6 against the spread. That team didn't have much to play for, but they played extremely hard for Dan Campbell. And, you know, I think that, you know, this is a season where if they went out and made the playoffs or they went out and had 8 or 9 wins, I would not be surprised in the slightest.
Really? Playoffs? It's funny. I was driving to my real job today, this morning, and I was listening to the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. I know Damon a little bit. I like that show. And Mraz, their quirky producer, who's funny, he says, what about a Lions-Rams, Stafford versus former team NFC title game? I'm like, what? Where is this offseason going? This has been bizarro world. A lot of people nationally, including yourself, talking very highly of the Lions. NFC title game, Eric. I was like stunned, but you really look at the NFC and you're like, man, it's not that good.
Well, and not only that, but the league, it feels like the league has given Detroit a kind of a break as far as the schedule is concerned. Like I live here in Cincinnati. You know, I look at their last 6 games. It's like Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. It's like, it's a murderer's row. The Lions, I mean, they get both New York teams. They get the Bears, who I think are going to be horrid. They get them twice. They get the Vikings, a team that, you know, is rebuilding or should be rebuilding. They even get a Packers team that's been great in the last, you know, 3 years, don't get me wrong. But a team rebuilding after trading their second-best player in the offseason. They don't play a game after 1 p.m. Eastern the entire year.
Yeah.
They don't leave the Eastern time zone in any of their – they don't leave the Eastern or Central time zone, I don't think.
Correct. They don't go further than Central. Yep, they got to play Dallas.
Any game this year.
Yep.
They have the best rest, sort of travel differential. Like, there's so much that is like when you're looking for how does a young team break through, it's, you know, it's patterns, it's leadership, it's stuff like that. And it's also like just getting a few wins under their belt. And like, I look at this team, they played extremely hard last year with the coach. They won some games at the end of the season, Minnesota's an 8-win team. Arizona was an 11-win team, a playoff team. And obviously they beat the Packers in the game that, you know, Packers played for half the game or so, but it was still a pretty impressive performance. And now you come back and all the additions that they got, you know, there's a lot of blue chip talent on this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where, again, when you're playing, most teams are bad because their defenses are bad. And so you get into a situation where you have 3 first-round picks on the offensive line and you don't have a lot of pressure on Goff. This team could get on the green and get into playoffs in this week division in a league that's set up for them to have success, in my opinion.
Eric Eager with us from Pro Football Focus. Certainly likes the Lions. We're getting established there. Tell me this, by the way, and I talk all the time with Dave and some of the folks at PFF. VP of Research and Development. What does that mean?
Prior to PFF, I was a math professor, actually in Wisconsin. I studied, you know, I had a PhD in math and did a bunch of you know, research there. Really love football though. Transitioned to football, so I run a group of about 5 data scientists at PFF, and basically all of the numbers-based stuff that you see on our website, which, you know, you get access to with the subscription and everything like that, originate from our group. So win probabilities, you know, wins above replacements, all the grades, a lot of the new stuff, the fantasy projections, the gambling stuff, all the stuff that you can get access to on the website, that originates in our group. The mock draft simulator was built by Timo Riske, one of my best data scientists. So basically all of the stuff that we do to try to push the game forward originates from my group.
All right, so let me ask you this. I'm a big PFF snob. I love you guys. I have a subscription, the whole thing. Every Monday on our show, I do the top 5 and bottom 5 from the weekend from PFF and how you guys graded them out. I'll just use an example because you can help me here. Alex Anzalone graded very poorly, like near the bottom for linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you and your team, how do you guys determine that? Do you have somebody that really knows the game? sitting there watching it? You guys do the grading. How does that work?
That's a good question. So, like, I actually played in college, but I wouldn't even purport to think about knowing the game as well as most people. We have people, so every single game, we have a group of two graders who grade the games. So they go through, and like if Jared Goff throws a really great pass on an in route, it gets dropped, we'll still give him a plus 0.5 on that play. If the linebacker gives up, like gets beaten in coverage by a running back and the ball is caught for a 15-yard game, we'll give him a negative 0.5 or maybe a negative 1. If a wide receiver fumbles, we give him a negative 1. And like, so all that play-by-play data is sort of input into a system, and then our job as mathematicians is to take those little grades, add them up, compare them to the rest of the league, and give you that 0 to 100 number that you get at the end of the day. But furthermore, like, our biggest problem is to see, okay, are we undergrading some players? Is our interpretation of football, should it evolve over time? A really good example is, you know, when they started running RPOs kind of in 2016, 2017, it changed what's required of linebacking play, right? So our old grading system, is it flexible enough to interpret that, or do we have to change that? That's all part of what's under the umbrella of research and development for us.
So I mentioned Anzalone as an example. You brought it up. Goff throws a pass. It's a good one. It's caught. Guy drops a pass. Guy fumbles. But for some of these players, like linemen who we're not watching, or even a linebacker who might not even be in the play, how does that work in terms of grading him? And do you have to watch the all 22 film, or and how quickly? Because you guys get that stuff out pretty quickly the next day.
Yeah, the game. Well, so we have contracts with all 32 teams and then about 130 college teams. So we get the all 22 like almost immediately after the game's over. So our first pass of grading is on the broadcast copy. And then anything that we can't see, we review on the all 22 copy. So we have two people doing it. If there's a discrepancy, so let's say I give Goff, and I don't grade the games, but if I give Goff a 0 and you give Goff a 0.5, somebody comes in with the all 22 to sort of resolve that discrepancy. Wow. And so that gets resolved by a third person in a double blind review process, and so on and so forth. And then we have team clients. So essentially if there are issues with, like, let's say we call somebody a slot receiver when in reality they were part of a bunch and they were designated the outside guy, whatever, the teams will flag things for us and we'll update them based upon what the teams want. Because even though we're a fairly big media company now, one of our first aims is to make the teams happy with their data, because a lot of teams, you know, use our data in many different ways.
Well, are the Lions heavy in liking you guys? I have heard that the Lions do look at it. I know in the past they hadn't maybe as much. Is that true?
Yeah, they've had people in that building that have spanned the Jim Caldwell era, the Patricia era, and now the Campbell era. So they're pretty big power users of us. I know the special teams coaches have been, because we chart special teams and stuff like that, and that's a hard process. A lot of vendors don't do that. So, you see how Campbell made decisions last year. Like, he was pretty progressive on fourth down decisions. I know that they're doing things now with the tracking data that they hadn't done before, and a lot of teams hadn't before. The XY data that you get from the league, which, you know, we've done some analysis with. But it's a very rich data set. So, yeah, I think, you know, I would say that they're fairly progressive. Michael Disner, a guy they've elevated into one of the football ops roles with the contracts and stuff, have also done a really good job of pushing the envelope forward as far as, you know, how well they, how well they do contracts and things like that in a more data-driven way. K.O. Grignetti is a former Big Data Bowl winner that actually works for them now. Very sharp guy as well. So I think they're in good hands. I mean, I like I said, my optimism about the Lions is relatively robust.
Eric Eager from PFF. I want to ask him more about the roster a little bit. We talked about Jeff Okudah before he came on. I want to get his thoughts on that and maybe where they're strongest, weakest going into this year. We'll do that coming up next. First, though, our friends at betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info tonight, folks. It's the NBA Finals, Game 1, Golden State and Boston, of course. And the Warriors have the home court. You want to bet on the game? You can do so at betonline.net. You get all the latest sports developments, news and odds, including this year's NBA championship, the NHL Conference Finals, as we talked about, Major League Baseball going on, the Tigers keep winning. Yeah, the Twins have COVID, but nobody on the Tiger broadcast team needs to tell you that. MMA, UFC, and more. Bet online, they got it all. It's your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today, betonline.net. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Eric Eager is with us from Pro Football Focus, our friends at PFF. We thank Dave Salfaro for getting Eric on with us. We love Dave and that crew that's lodged down there in Cincinnati, home of the Bengals, Eric, that they went from, what, four wins to a Super Bowl. I don't think you're predicting that for the Lions, but what makes you so optimistic? You talked about the offensive line before, but what else stands out?
Yeah, I mean, when you look, I think the difference between the Bengals and, you know, the Lions is obvious, right? It's the high-end quarterback play that the Bengals got to supplement the talent that they got at wide receiver and the sort of the defense, which, you know, with the Bengals, they just threw a lot of numbers at the problem. By virtue of having a guy on a rookie deal, you can just sign a Von Bell, you could sign a Chidobe Awuzie, Trey Hendrickson, so on and so forth. The Lions are not quite there on defense, but they did get the Trey Hendrickson type player in Aiden Hutchinson with the second pick in the draft. Charles Harris was a very good addition last year. And quarterback play is streaky, right? I think a lot of people, like, look, when Trayvon Diggs was a rookie, the guy was getting burned up and down the field. And in year two, he was getting a lot of interceptions. Still getting burned. We got a lot of interceptions, really turned around that defense. You know, so Okuda at pick number three in 2020 has not had a good start to his career. He's not played the best. He's not necessarily, been as good as he could be. But at the same time, like, I think, you know, him and Amani Ogunbowale can really, like, sort of form a good corner tandem and get this defense into a respectable place. And then if you do that, you get the offensive side of the ball. Three first-round picks on the offensive line. Top 10 pick at tight end. Jamison Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DJ Chark, and DeAndre Swift. Like, that's a good supporting cast to go with Jared Goff.
No, I think that for sure you see the improvement offensively. Defensively, it's certainly interesting that Brad Holmes just collects defensive linemen and edge rushers. Pascal was a bit of a surprise pick for some people. Obviously, Hutchinson, Romeo Okwara, his brother, Charles Harris re-signed. I mean, you know this, right, Eric? If you get to the quarterback, which the Lions have not been able to do in years, that will improve the entire defense, including a linebacking core that has a lot of questions, right?
Exactly. And I think with Patricia, it was just such a weird thing where, like, on purpose he wasn't getting to the quarterback. You look at the charts of, you know, number of pass rushers versus time to throw, and the Lions were this outlier where they'd rush like 3.5 players per play, and then, you know, and the quarterback had all day to throw, and it's like, well, why isn't Jeff Okuda playing well? It's like, we've got to cover a half a second more than everybody else in the league, and that, you know, there's no hope there. You get to the quarterback a little bit faster. Hutchinson, for me, like, I have been projected at 9 sacks. You're talking about a guy, and I'm not sure why this happened. I think, again, it's part of the Lions, in my opinion, getting lucky this year and having some of the characteristics of teams that can break through. You know, he's a great athlete. Is he as good of an athlete as Trayvon Walker? No, but he's a 90th percentile athlete in the position. Super productive. You know, got off the ball really fast. Just an absolutely great player rushing the passer and also a very willing run defender. He also gets, I mean, when you look at the offenses that they get to play this year, you know, Minnesota's offensive line is never going to remind you of the old, you know, teams of Todd Stussy and Randall McDaniel and those guys. Like, they stink. The Bears' offensive line is horrible.
Yeah.
Packers, they're a good football team. I think really good defenses. But the Packers' offensive line, if David Bakhtiari doesn't come back healthy, that's kind of a mess, right?
Yeah.
And I know they got Zach Tom in the draft out of Wake Forest, but you know, he has a relatively easy road. And a lot of times, defense is about the offenses you face and the schedule you end up having. And I think that stacks up okay for the Lions. So defensively, that's their weak spot, but I think that you squint a little bit, there's a chance for them to be pretty good. on offense, I really don't see them having a problem. They're going to protect Jared Goff. They're going to have explosiveness in the backfield. And once Jameson Williams gets in the fold, that's three good wide receivers that, you know, kind of is emblematic of what the Bengals have in Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. And so, you know, when you can – when other teams can – you know, other teams usually have, what, two or three good players in the secondary. And so, you know, if you can come at them with three wide receivers, that generally is sufficient. I think that that's going to be what the Lions are going to have as an advantage.
Give me a minute on Goff. Where are you with him? You've said nice things, and I'm sure fans are excited. And, you know, I don't think anybody here is going out and buying 16 jerseys like they did number 9 jerseys. But now that he's got, like you said, an offensive line, hopefully healthy with Ragnow back, and Decker playing most of the season, a running game for the first time in decades here, how do you think he'll do?
Yeah, I think – the issue with Goff is that he's not a perfect quarterback, right? And you know, I'm a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. I've been through this whole Andy Reid era where they had, you know, Alex Smith playing, and you know that team was, you know, people forget, but in 2012, the last year with it was Romeo Crennel's only year, but the last year of this sort of like Scott Pioli, Todd Haley era, they went 2-14.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andy takes over. He gets Alex Smith for 2 second-round picks. They build the roster. I was at this game. They played the Steelers in the playoffs, and they were 12-4. They had a bye in the first round, and they lost a playoff game 18-60 to the Steelers. And then the next draft, they took Mahomes, and it's all history. I think Goff is the quarterback that shows you how far you can get until you need the elite guy.
Mm.
So I'm not betting on the Lions to win the Super Bowl. I'm not betting on them to make the NFC title game. I think Goff's good enough to show you. Goff's good enough to show you what you have in Amon-Ra St. Brown. He did last year.
Yeah.
He's good enough to show you that Jameson Williams can be, you know, just like Alex Smith was good enough to show you what Tyreek Hill was. Good enough to show you what Travis Kelce was. I think Jared Goff is in that sort of Alex Smith, maybe in that area where he's always going to disappoint you if you really want to win something. But he's not – there's a floor there that I think is actually fairly high if you support him a little bit.
Eric, this was a lot of fun. Appreciate the time. And, hey, let's see where this whole thing goes. But there's some excitement here in Detroit. And love you guys at PFF. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Eric Eager with us. Follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Eric. That'll do it for a Wednesday edition, everybody. Day 2 here on YouTube of Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day. And we are back again tomorrow.